actually, last week I had talked about working with my son on his diet, because we all know that that can certainly affect their, you know, executive functioning skills. And so I had done a little research on the internet, and, you know, he actually listened to me. You know, I sat down, we talked about it, he listened to me, and today for the first time I got him to eat breakfast without a fight. And he's like, okay, I'll have breakfast. So that was like, yippee. Usually, you know, I don't typically have a problem getting him off to school, but he never eats. And, you know, oftentimes lately he'll tell me, you know, he's in high school, and he'll say, oh, no, I didn't have anything for lunch, because by the time, you know, I got to the front of the line, all of the good stuff was already, you know, purchased and gone. So I'm like, well, at least if I can get a breakfast in him, you know, that's a good thing. I have that. And then the other thing was Friday night, you know, 15-year-old boy hanging out with his friends. Things certainly could have gone downhill, but I was very happy when he decided that he shouldn't go and hang out at the party and asked me to come and get him. I'm like, oh, thank God, I'm finally seeing some signs of, you know, some, oh, I don't know, just some level of maturity knowing, you know what, I shouldn't be here. And despite the fact that, you know, it could be a lot of fun hanging out with everyone, I know I shouldn't really be here, because they're going to be doing stuff that I don't want to be doing, and I don't want to be tempted. So those are my two celebrations. Those are, like, huge things for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great. Okay, so Washington. Who's on from D.C.? Is that Lachelle?
Yes, hi. It's Lachelle.
You want to go ahead and check in?
Sure. What, I'm just introduce myself and celebrate.
And yeah, what are your celebrations? Yep.
Okay, I have a 17-year-old daughter with ADD, OCD, and mild autism, and a 13-year-old daughter with oppositional defiant disorder. And let me see. I guess we're celebrating. It's the beginning of the second quarter. And my daughter finished the first quarter that I know of. It was about, it was over 30 zeros and missing assignments that she didn't submit. So I know I talked about that on the previous call. So I'm celebrating that it's a new quarter, and she did take accountability and said that she, you know, that it was her fault and she can do better. So I'm just, you know, celebrate that she did admit it, and that hopefully we could get the second quarter off a lot better.
Yeah, so Lachelle, last week we were talking a little bit about kind of how you look at the situation.
Right.
So what did you notice that was different with a new perspective?
Well, just, I guess just that she takes accountability that it's her, and, you know, hopefully not using her disabilities as an excuse, because in the past she was able to turn in a lot more and not have as many misses. So I hope I'm answering the question. But I think just being able to say that it was me and I could do better, so I hope she really, you know, means that and really tries to do better.
So can I offer you a spin on that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times our kids, they want to take accountability, and I'm not saying that she can't do better, and I'm not saying that she, you know, that there's not an opportunity there, but I think a lot of times the dynamic that happens is that our kids, things get really, get different or harder for our kids, and so then they end up behind, and then there's a cycle of, called like the cycle of shame. So it's kind of like I'm missing 5 assignments, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do about 5 assignments, and then I just kind of, my brain kind of shuts down, and I pretend that they don't exist, and then my brain begins to believe that they don't exist, and then all of a sudden it's 10, and then it's 20, and it's kind of like this sort of denial and shame pattern that they get into, and it's not,
okay.
There's this subtle difference between purposeful and I can do better and taking accountability, because the reality is that she may take accountability and say, yeah, I should have done better, but she may not know how to do better, Lachelle. And,
okay.
And she may not know how to kind of get over this, and in a way, and she may, you know, and it's not the difference between if she'd try harder, she'd be fine, versus this is really hard for her and she needs a structure, a support, an accountability, a something to accommodate an executive function challenge is a subtle difference, but I think that it's one that there's a trap in, okay, she took accountability, she'll do better next time. We think she's just going to try to do, if she tries harder, it'll be fine. And the reality is that may or may not be true. How does that resonate for you?
I totally agree. And let me also say, and, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but also we see an academic coach once a week, and we see, you know, we go to therapy and counseling. And this year, for some reason, she just, I don't know what happened, but we usually try to use the systems put in place by the coach. And this year, my daughter just didn't, you know, and I don't know, maybe she can't, but she just didn't even try. Like before, we would try the system and start working on it, and this time it just didn't. So I don't know. Sometimes I think that myself, the coach, my husband, the doctors sometimes just feel like, what else can we do to support you is what we ask her. And, you know, when we put things in place, like I said, this time it just seemed to be a straight out somewhat disobedience. I don't know. And I don't know if it's a distraction because of other things, because of boys and...
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't live in your house, Michelle, but I think that that's the question is naughty versus neurological, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about this today. And so the thing to play with is to say, well, if it's naughty and it's 100% naughty, she's just being disobedient. How would you respond, and does that work? And if it's all neurological, how do you respond and how does that work? And I think that what it sounds like is that you want to take aim on, and I'm going to loop back to this when we take aim, but what's coming up for me, and I'm going to plant the seed, consider taking aim on this idea of why is she not accepting help.
Okay.
And how to kind of create the space for that. Okay?
Okay.
So I'm still working east to west. So Baltimore, Jane.
I would like to just celebrate the continuing improvement in my sons and my relationship, since I've focused more on that and not constantly nagging about his academic performance. So that's going well.
That's fun, yay. Okay. Somebody new joined us from Atlanta. Who joined us?
This is Jennifer. I'm probably just going to end up listening today. Because I've got to get some work cut out, knocked out.
Okay. All right. Do you want to check in before you get started, Jennifer, and just kind of tell us how things are going?
They've been going okay this week. I've gotten good reports from some of his teachers that he's been doing better. So hopefully it will continue.
Awesome. Okay. So... Ohio, Selma.
Hi. I listened very closely to your conversation with Michelle because the situation seemed to have some commonalities. My daughter is 19, year two in college, not successful, and she is ADHD. On medication, and what I have wondered about for so long is that she won't accept any help, and she's explained it well to me. She said, you know, it's because it makes me feel like I'm inadequate, and I, you know, can understand that, but it's kind of self-destructive. But I haven't been able to do anything about it. So what I've done, and this is my congratulations today, is that for the second week in a row, I've really let go. I just ask her how she's doing, how she feels about herself, and I hope that she's doing well, and I hope that she feels good about herself. And she has told me she's gone to tutoring twice. So that's the congratulations. That's the celebration on her own gone to tutoring.
Awesome.
So I'm really listening closely to what you're saying about accepting accountability or being accountable, which she is. She says, you know, I screwed this up, so I got to get some help. She's doing it, but I want to listen more closely. Okay, what next? How to approach this?
Okay, great. So, Colorado, Lisa.
Hi there. I'm celebrating the fact that my husband and I are finally, or I shouldn't say finally, but at least right now, we are banding together on the same page, and we are actively doing something proactive about our daughter's behavior. That's our biggest thing, is how she comes. She gets so upset when she doesn't get her way, and she's kind of been ruling the roost around here, and we want to get a hold on it. And we've typically been like a non-punishing family, and now we're just feeling, and she's 12, and we just want to get a grip on her. So we know that her currency is her phone. That's what she loves the most. And so we're taking her phone away, and in effort to get her to wake up and to kind of pay attention, because usually she'll just yes you to death, but never change, never try. And so I'm celebrating the fact that we're just, who knows if this is going to work, but we really just want to get her to wake up and try some new techniques to help her reduce her outbursts and better her communication skills. So it's going to be like a family effort, a family affair for all of us to not get dysregulated. And so I'm just, there's no outcome yet, but I'm celebrating the fact that we're at least trying and trying to be proactive.
Great, great. Troy, what about you?
Whoops, sorry, I was on mute. Let's see. This week, I have a 17 and a 19-year-old, junior in high school, and a son who had a rough time his first year in college and is in the middle of the year off. I'm celebrating that my junior has tests every day this week and two projects due yesterday and today. And he, with a lot of help from us in terms of scaffolding and making sure he stayed on task, completed the projects on time. And they're going to get in, and he missed his party with his friends last night, and he wasn't happy about it, but he actually stayed home and got the work done. So, and we didn't have to tell him. He just kept working, and when he finished, he realized that he had missed it. So I'm pleased that he got the projects done and was able to focus on them with us helping, and not, you know, go, well, I've got to go see my friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Troy, do you know where you want to take aim this week?
Where do I want to take aim this week? So I'm parenting positively, right? That's this week's.
Yeah.
I would say, I feel like we did, staying at the point where realizing when he needs us, when we need to step in and actually provide help, looking at this midterm week, Lisa and I looked at it and went, this is tough. Alex is going to need our help this week. It's not one to just hand to him. And so keeping an eye on that balance between, you know, letting him try and perhaps fail versus looking at it and saying, no, you know, you need us walking next to you. Because he's
so
still
kind
got
of figuring out how tightly to hold the rope. Is there a particular area? Is it a school?
This is school because, you know, as I mentioned, he has five tests and two projects, and he's gotten through probably the worst of it. But, you know, he still has four more days to go. So.
Okay. Good. All right. So.
Oh, and also Lisa number two texted me and said that she's TAing and won't be able to be on the call, unfortunately.
Okay.
So. Just me today.
Okay, so there's seven of you. Jennifer's got us on mute. She's doing some work and just listening mostly today. So let's just kind of loop back through and see where everybody's going to take aim. Jane, where do you want to take aim?
Sorry, it takes a while because I have to take it off of mute. But I have
been listening, and people have said things that are so happening at my house, and they're so problematic. My son, he is 16, and he's rolling the roost at my husband's bed, and I heard the other parent say. And I don't know where to take aim, because I wrote down that there's huge problems with sleep. There's problems with schoolwork. He's getting mostly upper D's, maybe close to a C. Disrespectful when I'm telling him something that needs to be done, or my husband tells me it's time to get off the video game. He'll say, I have rights. These are my rights. I can do what I want to do. What I choose to do with my life, I have rights. And all these things are going through my mind. So he didn't stay home last night. He went trick-or-treating, even though he had tons of work to do. So I'm kind of feeling bad, like the other parent was much more able to have a son that would stay and do his work responsibly. And mine was like, let me live this moment, Mom. I want to go trick-or-treating. So there's no balance. I'm very frustrated. So the parenting positively, I think I have taken to the extreme. I mean, it's okay. What our relationship is good, but I'm like so not good at following through on
following through on
any kind of a rule, because he'll say, I have rights. I don't have to do that. And it just makes it contentious. And last night I did tell him, I said, go do your homework, go do your homework, go do your homework. He was too busy counting and organizing his candy. And then he yelled at me to stop nagging at him. And so I just stopped, because then it'll get into a big argument. So
hang on a second, Jane. Let me ask you a question. Is it more about what to do when he rebels, or is it more about what to do to prevent the rebellion?
When he rebels, I mean, I make the request, and I don't follow through, because he will, I don't know. I just feel like it's been so many years of him just getting angry and upset, and I don't know.
Because you don't want to be a punching bag, and it's easy to kind of just go, well, I made the request, I've done my job, if he rebels, I don't want to create a fight. I mean, it's easy to do, especially when you're in that kind of relationship mode where you want to continue to connect and build. So my guess is that part of this is about figuring out that there are ways to make requests that can be more effective. So it might be about how you're making the request, and it also can be about how to respond when he rebels. And that was my word. Does that feel like the right word for you?
Well, yeah, it's rebelling. It's disrespectful. It's just saying I have rights. I can choose to do. And he's really emphatic about it. I said, yes, you do. You can choose to do what you want to do, but you will have consequences. And he said, I know. And then he just, you know, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
He didn't get any of the homework done.
How does that feel? So is it about the rebel? So if he rebelled and then did his homework, would it matter to you?
He's disrespectful with his rebellion. He didn't do his homework because he said he couldn't focus on it. And I know he couldn't. He had no ability to do it at all. And even if it had been earlier, I don't think he could have done it. He can't focus on his work.
Okay, so is it about how to help him focus on his work? Because I guess that's my question is, you know, there's part of this is you can see very plainly that he's having a hard time focusing on his work. And the way that you're asking or interacting is creating rebellion, which creates a little conflict, which you would rather not have, and it's got the disrespect and everything else in there. And so where do you shine your light, Jane? You shine your light on the way you are making your request. Do you shine your light on the fact that he's having a hard time not focusing? Do you shine the light on the disrespectful language? Where does it feel like the right place to start?
That's a good way to ask it. I think the right place to start would be for me to be a parent who can make requests that
a child will, you know, respect and follow through on and not kind of rule the roost is what's happening. He's like the king of the house.
Okay, so making requests and holding him accountable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, Vilma, where do you want to take aim? It sounded like you were leaning towards asking for help. Is that, how would you bottom line that? Vilma, did I lose you? Karen, I'll go back to Vilma.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Come back to me if you don't mind. My phone's going crazy
okay.
at the moment. So. Okay.
Thanks, Vilma.
So, I don't know, in terms of taking aim, I'm probably going to, you know, I've made a little bit of inroads on his diet, but I really think that we can do a lot more around there. And, you know, his snacking habits are horrible. He eats too many carbohydrates. He doesn't have enough, you know, fruits and vegetables. You know, he's eating, you know, sugar at night, even though we, you know, talk, you know, we've talked numerous times about the fact that, you know, sugar doesn't help you fall asleep at night and so on and so forth. So I think I'm just going to continue trying to focus on his understanding of how the food that he puts into his body affects his body, either positively or negatively, and see what, you know, see what we can do from there and try to help him eat better, because he is also a kid who has a hard time falling asleep at night, and he takes melatonin to do that. I, you know, certainly don't want him to have to take that forever, and if I can get him to see that by changing his diet and certain other things, then maybe he won't need to do the melatonin.
Okay, so I see that the challenge that you're identifying is his diet. I think that the question, so I'm going to, while I move on to the rest of the group to kind of say, what are you taking aim on? Karen, the next question to always ask after we take aim is, what is going on? So as you're reflecting this, to kind of say, what is going on? What is it about his current diet that makes it easier for him? Or what's appealing to him about it? Or what's he trying to do? Or, you know, kind of, or what is it about his diet that's bugging you? Or what, you know, that sort of thing. So just kind of do some curiosity on your own. And for everybody, the next step after taking aim is educate. And we ask, what's going on? What's going on with them? What's going on with me? What's going on with their executive function? Those sorts of things. Okay, so.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Lisa.
Hi there. I'm not sure what to take aim on, and I was hoping to get some coaching on that.
Okay.
We've got this big issue that I referenced about, you know, the 12-year-old who's just behavior is poor, disrespectful, yells, not nice to her sister, not nice to me, you know, just and we want to get a grip on that. We want to enforce that we speak to each other respectfully.
So why not take aim on communication?
Okay. Yes.
Does that feel right?
I
guess I'm asking the question, why not? I mean, what's your hesitancy, I guess?
What was the question?
What's your hesitancy in just choosing that as a place you take aim?
Well, it was no hesitancy. I guess I got a little confused about the process of taking aim again. This is still new to me.
Okay, well, let me thank you for saying that. So we want to take aim on a challenge. And so what I heard is your challenge is inappropriate communication, whether it's unkind or, as somebody was saying earlier, disrespectful. And so that's the challenge where you want to take aim. I think that if you wanted to get more narrow, and you gave a great example of a time when it is inappropriate, is kind of like what type of communication? Is it the way she talks to her sister? Is it the way she talks back to you when you make requests of her? So if you were going to narrow that communication down just a little bit more, what would you say is the most kind of area that stands out the most for you in terms of the challenge of communication?
The area would be the way she responds to requests.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right. So
if
I'm going to go ahead. Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
Okay. So, Jennifer, I don't know if you're listening enough to check to take aim on something. I want to just at least give you that offer, and then I'll go back to Vilma. Okay. Vilma, where do you want to?
Okay.
So, the question was, you said something about asking for help. Is that, how would you phrase where you want to take aim?
Well, specifically targeted, she used the tutoring services at the university twice, and with the intention of it helping her on her next step of quizzes and exams. So what I want to target is how I can, anticipating that there's going to be difficulties for her in doing well or well enough for whatever her standard is, how can I support her without being the mom that is overly, that's hovering? Because she's 19,
okay.
So, you know, hovering mom is not a good idea.
So you want to encourage her to, you want to figure out how to encourage her to use her support and not become helicopter mom.
Right.
Okay. And what problem are you trying to solve by this, by getting help in the tutoring? Is it keeping her accountable for getting her homework done? Is it handling the complexity of the schooling work? What is the main role of the tutoring?
Teaching her how to study for an exam. She does well with homework that's due. Does the short, quick stuff well. But reviewing, getting ready to be examined, or, you know, when the memory function starts to not work easily for her.
Right. So I guess one of the things that you just kind of play with is that the tutoring is a solution. And so, ask yourself and think about it a little bit, Vilma. It's kind of like, how would looking at the challenge change it? So it's kind of like if you want to help your daughter to focus to, you know, really improve her test taking skills, and you took aim there, you know, figure out, you know, how different would that be than I want to get my daughter to go to the tutor. Does that make sense? Distinction?
I realize, yes, I get this distinction. What you're making, and making it more fuzzy.
I guess that's a great observation, because we actually do that on purpose, right? Because what happens as parents is that we get a solution in our head for this is what she needs to do and she'll be fine, and the reality is that part of this is her figuring out a solution that works for her, and it may be that the tutor is the right solution for her, and it may be that there's something going on that's making it hard for her to use the tutor as a resource. And if you say, okay, what I really want her is for her to have support so that she can do well on her test. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's it. It's just that she chose the tutoring these last two times. So, hey, that's her choice, and, you know. But, yeah, anything where she could learn the study habits that are appropriate for her, that would help her.
Yeah, and so I guess that you're gonna ask a very different question of her if you were to go to her and say, what is it about going to the tutor that's become difficult for you versus what do you think you need to help you do well on these tests?
My questioning her, like, what do you think you need to help you do better on the test? She sees that as me interfering. It makes her very nervous because now she has to figure it out. And I'm making her nervous. It's my fault. So that's
okay.
Not a good interaction for us.
So how do you? So I guess I'm gonna ask you a question to think about, Vilma, and then I'm gonna move on. But it's like, how do you hold her accountable if you can't have the conversation with her?
I think many of us parents are asking that sort of thing. How do you hold them accountable without being the hovering mom or dad?
I'm asking a different question.
Okay.
So you told me that you. Yeah, so you told me that you couldn't talk to her because you get in trouble. That's very different than choosing not to engage in a conversation. So the conversation, I think that this is what we all need to figure out, is that we're parents and we're still their parents and we still have our own perspectives and our boundaries. You could have a conversation with her and make her feel uncomfortable. You have that choice.
Yeah,
and it doesn't necessarily make you a hovering mom. I mean, you've used that language, and so if you've decided that if I ask anything, I'm a hovering mom, So the question
is, if I ask her what she needs for help, it's the concept of needing help that makes her extremely nervous.
Got it. Okay. So where does that lead? So let's go back up to 30,000 feet, Vilma, and look at the conversation we just had about the different places to take aim. Does that take you back to how do I help her to ask for help? Does it take you to how do I not hover? Where does it take you?
What was the first one? How do I ask her?
No, Anna, how do you ask her? How do you help her? Get the help she needs, or how to support her in getting the help she needs.
Right, how to support her in getting the help she needs.
Okay, good. All right. So we're talking about parenting positively today, and we're on page 26 of the workbook, 26 and 27. And I guess the thing that I want to say about parent positively is that this isn't about being nice to our kids, right? Because it's this positive, I'm going to be kind to my kids. I'm not going to ask them the tough questions. I'm not going to nag. I'm not going to, and yes, part of this is about the things we want to, do in our interactions. But at the core of this, this is really about focusing on our child, focusing on what they need, and focusing on the relationship. So what ends up happening is that we get so focused on, oh, my gosh, my kid isn't turned in. My kid, I'm going back to Lachelle, your example. My child is not turned in 30 assignments. This is terrible. How could this possibly happen? And so instead of focusing on that, we focus on, wow, what is it that my child needs right now? And how do I stay connected enough to my child so that that conversation and that, that opportunity can happen. And so it's about, focusing on strengths. It's about acknowledging and validating. It's about showing compassion. It's about championing and celebrating. It's about non-judgment and openness. And I'm looking at this list of stuff at the end of this page on 26, and I just look at these. We do this really great exercise in Sanity School, where we look at each of these things and we say, what's our satisfaction with these things? How are we doing on perfectionism? How are we doing on, celebrating? How are we doing on non-judgment? And all of these things, these elements together, really create an environment so that we can begin to tackle the challenges. And so that's why what happens, and Jane, you were talking about kind of your work over the last several weeks here. What, if I can tell a little bit of your story, is what you realize is that until you figured out how to kind of reconnect with your son, it didn't matter what you did in terms of trying to solve the problem because he wasn't at the table. And so one of the great things that parenting positively does is that it keeps the connection open in a way that allows you to collaborate. We talked about collaborative problem solving last time. Allows you to collaboratively problem solve with your kids. So again, it may be about just focusing on what's working rather than what's not working. It may be about the ACE. We talked about the ACE process, I think, last time, which is, you know, before you try to figure it out, there's two steps before it. A stands for acknowledge and validate. C stands for compassion. And E stands for explore, right? And so usually when a challenge comes up, we go right from challenge to solution. And what we want to do is we want to connect with our child before then. We want to explore with our through acknowledging and compassion. We want to explore with our child, and then we want to take action and figure out what we want to do. So that's a great example of how focusing on positivity and connecting with our kids can really kind of create some space between problem and solution, which gets our kids involved in a very different way. If your kid is shut down because you're trying to get them to use their planner, it doesn't matter, you know, how many times you say, you know, get your homework out or do your planner. If they're shut down and not engaging in the conversation, your ability to be successful is very limited. So as I say that, what comes up for you guys?
This is Lachelle. I was just going to say what you said is right, and I have a hard time with that because, I mean, and she will say, I don't want to talk about it, so she's not hearing anything I'm saying. Even when, I guess the same thing, I think it was Velma, even when I ask a question, and I think it's a question to help get a solution from her, she just says, I don't want to talk about it. So,
yep. So in that moment, and this would be good because I think we could all use this. In that moment, if you were going to acknowledge and validate what her experience is, she's saying, I don't want to talk about it right now. How could you acknowledge or validate that for her?
I don't know, and sometimes it's lately is sometimes it's with I think a disrespectfulness, and
and it's hard to hear it through the disrespect. So it makes sense. You want to shut down the disrespect. So can we play with me for a second, Lachelle, and just let the disrespect go for a second, right?
Okay.
What's really going on for her in that moment? Get curious. What do you think is going on?
I don't know if this answers the question, but I think she thinks that if we ignore it, we can just act like it doesn't exist.
And that's a great gift to the ADHD brain, right?
Right.
So it was due 2 weeks ago, so it's not due now, right?
Right.
Or it's due in 2 weeks, so it's not due now, right? And I think that's the piece of it. So yes, that's true. She thinks that. But so what's her experience in the moment? Why doesn't she want to, what is it about the talking about it that's hard for her?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes she says that I talk too much. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of, like, she's it feels like lecturing to her, maybe?
Like, say that again?
It feels like lecturing to her.
Yeah. So I guess it's lecturing. And then sometimes she says, I can be doing my work right now.
Okay. All right. So it feels like a distraction. It feels like it's not helpful. It maybe feels a little uncomfortable because she's not, you know, shining a light on something that she already feels bad about, maybe, but doesn't actually want to admit it to herself or to you. So right. If you were going to show her compassion in that moment and say something compassionate to her in that moment when she says, Mom, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
And it was going to start with something like, I get it. What would the rest of the sentence be?
This is where I struggle.
What do you see as her life experience?
That it's hard for her.
Okay, I get it. I can tell it's hard for you. This is no fun to talk about. It is easier to just get it done than it is to talk about it. That's the compassion. And a lot of times if we just start with that and then we close our mouths, because it's always easy to say, but you've got to do it. You know, it's like we follow it through with the but or the and or the whatever it is afterwards. But just, I think that if we're going to start with positivity, we just do the compassion piece. I get it. It's hard.
Okay.
It's no fun to do homework when it's 3 weeks late and you feel like you've got 30 assignments. I bet it's overwhelming for you that you've got so many assignments and you're probably afraid that it's going to happen again. You know, whatever it is that you're comfortable saying, not to turn it into a lecture, but the goal is connection. So sometimes
okay.
It's simple. Sometimes it's just, I get it. I bet
okay.
It's hard for you. So what else is coming up for folks as we're talking about positivity?
Well, this is Vilma. I can tell you, since practicing this with you guys for a few months, it gives me more peace of mind when I can be, when I can feel her with when I can be consoling or when I can be uplifting with her. It gives mm-hmm. me peace of mind. But you're waiting for the but, and there is a but. Because
yeah, and you're waiting for the but. Yeah, and I'm thinking about that because I think that that's kind of, Jane, that's where you're at right now. So it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I've been here acknowledging and validating for the last 4 weeks. What do I do now?
Yeah.
Well,
no, it's working.
It's
you
working.
You know, she did go do her own thing about helping herself. She did. So now I'm thinking, okay, next thing, it's going to be harder than she thinks it's going to be, and I got to be there.
Right. Right. So this could take a while. I think that's the thing. I think, Jane, you've been working on this for almost a month now, where you've been focused in on just figuring out how to connect.
And it really worked. It worked well.
It really works. So
it worked well. And I agree with her that it makes me feel better, too.
Yeah. What's hard about this?
I was just going to say that I think parenting positively is not hard and it's going really well. It's just, I guess, the next step is finding the balance between being compassionate, understanding, and then holding him accountable for the things that are very, I guess I should say they're challenging for him. And I try to keep focused on that, they're challenging.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to be disrespectful. I don't think he wants to not have his homework. And in fact, he said, I'm trying. I just can't focus on it. And I wanted to say, well, if you hadn't gone trick or treating, you could have. But I just bit my tongue like I do lately.
Well, and I guess the question is, how helpful would it have been to say that? I mean, this is a kid, and it's Halloween, and it's Halloween.
It wouldn't have been helpful, so I'm glad I didn't say it.
Yeah, and it's hard because it's like those moments where you're like, duh, hello, if you would have only. And it makes us feel good. So it's kind of like sometimes there's even a side effect because it makes us feel good to kind of like wave the obvious in their face. And the question is, again, if positivity is the focus, it's like, what does my child need right now? Does my child need to lecture them on all the reasons they should be in a different place they are now than they are now? Or does my child need love and understanding? Does my child need a kick in the pants? Does my child need an accountability partner? Does my child just need to be seen? You know, so you want to ask yourself in that moment, what is going to be the most helpful thing for my child right now? Karen, I'm curious about your perspective on this.
So I guess what I've been thinking about is I often don't think, what does my child need right now? And that's something that I'm going to sort of focus on a little bit more when we're having, you know, difficult interactions. But one of the things that I was thinking about, too, is what's difficult would be falling into old patterns and not, you know, doing what we're learning with this class, which has been so incredibly helpful and, you know, has definitely made a difference with my interactions with my child. But, you know, sometimes, you know, old habits die hard, and sometimes, you know, you do fall into those. So I guess that would be the tough thing, is to make sure you don't fall into old patterns and just, you know, stick with what we're learning here, because it really does make a big difference.
Well, and I love that. Thank you for saying that, Karen. And what I would tell you is that I still fall into the old bad habits, and my son now holds me accountable for the positivity. And he'll look at me and he'll go, Mom, what I don't need right now is the lecture. What I do need right now is some space so I can figure out how I'm going to get this done. And that's really what you want, is you want them to figure out how to step into that, to go.
Oh, Polly's pushing about the invitations.
Okay.
So it's if you can, I love that. How do you create, so the question, Karen, and forever all of us, is how do you remember to ask that question? What does my child need right now?
Great.
Well, I this is Velma. One of the ways that I get reminded is when her voice gets high, when she starts to sound like she's super stressed. That's my reminder.
So whenever you see stress, you go to compassion. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So that's a big change for me. Sometimes I would have just walked off. I can't take it. I can't take yet another outbreak. But to go to compassion is my goal.
Which keeps you at the table, which is a very different dynamic than kind of throwing your hands up in the air. Love that.
Right.
Thank you. Other thoughts?
Well, this is Jane, and showing the compassion is the first thing I've been doing. Actually, the acknowledging of his feelings and then showing the compassion, because my reaction before would have been to scream back at him. But now, of years of doing that and seeing that I was banging my head against the wall and didn't improve the relationship, that it deteriorated it, nothing got done. Now he can open up to me about what problems he's having with school and his focus. So it's much better to any human being to acknowledge what they're going through and show compassion. Then you can make headway.
Yeah. Well, and Jane, and the thing that kind of comes up for me as you were talking earlier about kind of how to approach, now that you've got the door open, right? If we want to start with asking permission, so you're holding them accountable and you're asking permission. So it's, and I'm making this up, but it's something like, it's important that you and I have a conversation about X. And I want to, you know, when are you willing to have that conversation? You know, are you open to having a conversation? Are you open, how open are you to having the conversation? Or are you open to having the conversation? And, you know, then that gives you, you know, at each step, when, When are you willing to have that conversation? You know, so you're holding them accountable for having the conversation, but you're asking for, I get that this might not be the right time. When can we have the conversation?
About X, about like anything that would be an
right.
approach.
Because then you're figuring out, are they in a place, and a lot of times they'll say, you know, I got it, Mom, don't talk to me right now. Great, I'm glad you got it. And when can I check back in with you to make sure that, you know, you're doing okay?
And that's exactly where we talked about last phone call. And I had asked permission about talking to the algebra teacher. And he's really struggling still. He told me no. So then you said hold him accountable. And I said, that's a good idea. And I didn't follow through. So now, see, who's the one that's the problem is me.
You didn't follow through.
I never checked in.
Right. Yeah. And then you're like, shoot. So what do you need to do, Jane, to hold yourself accountable for holding him accountable?
I think I do best by writing it down on a piece of paper big and having that
yeah.
or on my phone as a reminder on my phone.
Well, and sometimes we got to remind ourselves. It's kind of like I've got a note in my calendar today to talk to Jacob about one of his teachers that we talked about last week, and I want to see how it's going. So I have to remember. I put the note in my own calendar so that I wouldn't forget. So, and it's hard because life happens and, you know, there's 17 assignments between then and now and all kinds of things.
And
so,
20 other challenges.
Exactly. All right. Cool. Well, we've got about 5 minutes, so I want to get us to our wrap-up. Are there any other thoughts that people kind of have about this general conversation about positivity before we wrap up? The questions are on page 27, so take a few minutes and just jot down some notes as a way to kind of close this conversation for yourself. You know, what did you focus on or pay most attention to today? You might have paid attention to the Parenting Positive Week conversation, or you might have paid attention to one particular conversation I had with one of you as we were going through this. What's my clarity? What's an aha? What's the takeaway that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I want to set myself up for success with that action? What do I need to make it work for me? So take a few notes, and whenever anybody's ready, I would love to hear at least one aha and one commitment from everybody.
Oh, this is Jane. I would like to do the aha was that other people are going through very, very similar things, so it's helpful to hear possible approaches and the same wording and ruling the roost and all that. It's just good to know that there's my kid's not the only one doing this. And also the takeaway is what to shine my light on is to hold myself accountable for checking back with him.
Awesome. Great. Who else?
So this is Velma. What something you said just clicked for me. When I talk about congratulating myself and her on her having made some breakthroughs, I have been saying to myself, it's because I stepped back. But that's not right. It's what you said. I stepped up to the table with compassion.
Awesome. So what's your next area of focus, Velma? What do you need to do to take that to the next level?
Oh, I'm going to keep it up. I'm just going to practice this for a while to understand myself what I'm doing.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Troy, what about you? You've been quiet today.
I would say, as I listened to a couple of the conversations, I thought, yeah, I was there, and I will probably end up being there again because, you know, I haven't talked about my older son very much. He's doing well, but he's 19 and getting into his independence, and letting him launch is a big piece of focus. With Alex, I think what I want to work on and what I want my commitment is to, you know, less in academics and more in his involvement in an athletic team and his commitment to it in spite of difficulties, is to really listen to what he needs as opposed to my thinking, well, you signed up, you have to do it, because that's one of, there's this value about integrity that's important to me, and leavening that with where is he, what does he think is important, and what does he need? That's what I want to look at and do work on in the next week or two.
Awesome. Karen?
So I guess what really resonated with me was when you were talking about how when a child shuts down when you're trying to talk with them, how it's really hard for us to connect. And, you know, us acknowledging that and, you know, maybe asking them, you know, when is a better time for me to talk with you about this particular subject. And in terms of a realistic action step for me to take, I really like that question, what does my child need right now? Because I never really thought about that before, and I think that's probably not the best on my behalf, but I'm glad that I learned that question right now. And so, you know, when I see my child getting upset or frustrated, you know, I'm just going to recognize that and then ask myself that question. All right, well, what does he need right now? What is it that's really bothering him, and what can I do to help him, you know, with this?
Love that. Great. Lisa.
Hello. I think what my takeaway, my clarity from today is in that in kind of rolling out this new approach with our daughter and taking away her phone, that I have to remember that about the compassion and the positivity. And I love the line, whenever I see stress, go to compassion. I thought that was great. It's a great reminder for me. So I want to make sure that I'm really building that in as we try to help her. And doing something that she's very uncomfortable with. So that's my takeaway.
Great. Awesome. Michelle.
I also like the part about showing her compassion and making me think. I always want to add on the buts because that's how my mind works. But we have these assignments to do. But I'll try to work on being more compassionate with her. To be honest, it hasn't been easy because, you know, just you know, a lot of frustration and wondering what's going on, and things change from month to month or week to week or day to day. And so it's easy for me to give my 7-year-old compassion, but I've been having a hard time giving her compassion. So that is something that I definitely need to work on, that it needs to be about the connection. So, you know, the connection and what she needs, and being more compassionate towards her.
Well, and what's coming up for me as you say that is kind of, I'm thinking about my dynamic with my kids, and it's like, how long do you stay with that compassion? And I always try to stay that a couple rounds, you know, so it's like, wow, I can tell that's really hard for you. And then they talk, you know, it's like they clear and they're like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I get it. That's really, it must have been yucky when that happened. And, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So you let them clear a couple times, and then you say something like, well, you know, let me know when you're ready to tackle this, or when do you think you'll be ready to kind of take some action on this, or, you know, so then you kind of, or you know, how are you feeling about working on this now? You know, so you're kind of, you're then kind of coming back with a question before you're saying, but you're opening the door for the but, right?
Okay.
So, all right. Any other last thoughts? Great call today.
Thank you.
We're going to be in, so next week is the National CHAD Conference, International CHAD Conference. We're going to be out in California. I don't know if any of you guys are going. Please come find us if you're out there. Would love to connect, and we are meeting again in 2 weeks There is a Lifeline call next Thursday at noon East Coast time.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.